Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We will be looking at verses 6 through 11 today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 through 11, under the title, The Importance of Finishing What You Start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious word, for every lesson that it teaches us. I pray that as we examine these particular words that you gave us, we would understand what you want us to do as your people, as Christians, in living the Christian life. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher. May your word feed us spiritually. And I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you ever start reading a book and never finish it? Did you ever start a project in your yard and never finish it? Did you ever buy a gym membership, go once or twice, and then never go back again? Did you ever start a Christmas fund at the bank, make one or two deposits, and then never make any more deposits? I don't know, do they still have those Christmas funds? When I was, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Anybody remember them? When I was a kid, you could have a Christmas fund at the bank, and each week you could put, $1 or $2 or $5. And supposedly, if you did that every week, by Christmas time, you'd have some money to buy presents. There were several times I ended up with $4 or $6 in the whole year. Oh, my. Psychologists offer a variety of reasons why people start things and don't finish them. And I suppose there could be a variety of reasons for that, but at least for some people, there's one very significant reason they start things and don't finish them, and that is a failure to act responsibly. It's as simple as that. You just fail to act responsibly. The Corinthian believers, according to verse 10 in our text, had begun a year prior to this to collect money to contribute to the poor saints in Jerusalem. But they never finished it. So in verse 11, Paul encourages them to perform the doing of it. In other words, finish what they started. That's going to give us our topic for today. The importance of finishing what you start. So let's see what we can learn. Verse 6, Titus had started something. It says, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun. Oh, he had started something. Then he continues in the verse, so he would also finish. Now, Titus was a longtime companion of the Apostle Paul. They became acquainted at least on Paul's first missionary journey. In Galatians chapter 2, at the beginning of the chapter, we have a record there of Paul taking Titus with him to Jerusalem. That is in the context of Acts chapter 15, where they had the big conference on a legalistic gospel. And that was on Paul's first missionary journey, or at the end of Paul's first missionary journey. So Titus and Paul were acquainted at least at that time, and now, and as Paul is writing 2 Corinthians, this is his third missionary journey. So some time has taken place, and they've been companions for a while. We're told even in our text here, or following our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that Titus was a kindred spirit to the Apostle Paul. Verse 16 says, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. And in verse 23, it says, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. And when Paul wrote to Titus over in Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, he refers to Titus as mine own son after the common faith. So there was a real kinship between the Apostle Paul and this man Titus. And so when Paul had a passion for collecting for the poor saints in Jerusalem, Titus had that same passion. And while Paul is in Ephesus, and having sent the first letter over to Corinth, Titus was in Corinth at the time that letter arrived. And if you'll recall, in chapter 16 of the first letter, the Apostle Paul encouraged the Corinthians to lay some aside the first day of the week, which is when they would have been meeting for worship as we are on the first day of the week. And by that means, collect little by little so that they could contribute as they promised to do a year ago. Probably while Titus was there, he encouraged them to begin that collection on the first day of the week. And that's what Paul is referring to. Now he wants to send Titus back to Corinth so that Titus can finish with the Corinthians what he had started. The importance of finishing what you start. Now, Paul compliments the Corinthians and acknowledges that they have actually accomplished some things. In verse 7, he says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, this word abound is an interesting word. As many words are, they have a generic meaning and then they become used metaphorically for something else. This word, in its generic sense in the Greek language, referred to a flower that goes from a bud to full bloom. That's abounding, from bud to full bloom. So metaphorically, this word then becomes synonymous of something that exists in abundance or in full bloom in your life. And so Paul says, there are many things in your life, and it's probably a little bit of a hyperbole that he uses here, a little bit of an exaggeration, because obviously there is at least one thing that is not full bloom in their life, and that's the collection for the saints. But he says, there are many things in your life that are in full bloom. You've accomplished something. You have abounded in faith, he says. Not just faith for salvation. Faith for salvation really doesn't come in quantities. For salvation, you either believe or you don't. But for the Christian life, for daily living, faith comes in various quantities. Remember, the disciples were often accused by Jesus of having little faith. And at one point, the disciples in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5 said to the Lord, increase our faith. Well, the Corinthians, since they abounded in faith, apparently their faith had increased sufficiently so that it was in full bloom, so that on a daily basis they were faithful Christians. They abounded in utterance. You're familiar with the Greek word logos, right? That's the famous Greek word for word. Jesus is the word. He's the logos. Well, this is the verb form of that. And so we're talking about the spoken word, to logos, to speak the word. In other words, these people were proficient in witnessing. And Corinth was being filled with the word of the gospel. They abounded in knowledge. This word is gnosis or gnostic. You've heard of agnostics, right? Agnostics? Agnostics don't know anything. They don't know whether there's a God or not. You ask them questions and they don't know. You say, does God exist? They say, I don't know. You say, is there a heaven or a hell? And an agnostic says, I don't know. You ask them, is the moon made of green cheese? And they say, I don't know. They just don't know anything. But these are Gnostics. Now, not the cult of the Gnostics in the first 3 centuries. Those people thought they knew something and didn't. But in the biblical sense, to know in this context means that they knew the truth that sets them free. They had a knowledge of the Word of God. In terms of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, where Paul said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. They had achieved a remarkable measure of the knowledge of the Son of God, so that they were no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. See, what we're dealing here in this situation is a practical matter and not a doctrinal one. It wasn't a doctrinal deficiency. It was merely a failure to act responsibly. They abounded in diligence. This is also an interesting word. It means the effort put into a project which pushes you to finish it. This is a key factor in finishing what you start, being diligent. It is the drive to put forth the required effort to finish something. It can be, on one hand, part of a person's personality, but it is something that can be learned as a person grows into a responsible adult. Diligence. You know the story about the hare and the tortoise, or the rabbit and the turtle? Whatever possessed the turtle to run a race with a rabbit, I don't know. Because rabbits are really fast. You ever see a rabbit run? Did you ever see a turtle run? I never saw a turtle run. They just kind of plod along. But the turtle agreed to run a race with a rabbit, if you can imagine. And for whatever reason, the rabbit starts off wonderfully, zoom, he's soon out of sight. But then he decides, I've got plenty of time. So he lays down and takes a nap. And while he's sleeping, the diligent turtle plods along and finishes the race and wins. The Corinthians, Paul says, abounded in diligence. They show the ability to finish what they start. They have the ability. They have the potential. They have what it takes. Now they need to apply it to this particular thing. And Paul says they abounded in love towards both Paul and Titus. To us, he says. In other words, there was apparently nothing lacking in their love for Paul that would prevent them from being willing to sacrifice whatever was necessary for their beloved apostle. Now, just to take this a step further, to motivate the Corinthians to finish what they started, in verse 9, he tells us that Jesus Christ set the supreme example. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What are those famous words of Christ we noted at the beginning of the service? It is finished. Well, according to this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. How did that work? Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. How was Jesus Christ rich? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's how he was rich. Jesus Christ was rich because he was equal with God. How did he become poor? Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That's how Jesus Christ became poor. And in that poverty, he completed the work of redemption. In verse 8 it says, and became found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He didn't just become obedient. He became obedient unto the death of the cross. In other words, he finished the work. When he declared on the cross, it is finished, he gave up the ghost and died, finishing the work. Jesus Christ had one primary objective when he came to earth. Would you go to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34? John 4, 34. Jesus Christ had one primary objective when he came to this earth, and that was to finish the work that the Father had assigned to him. Notice in John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Chapter 5 in verse 36. Chapter 5 and verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So what does Jesus say over in John chapter 17 and verse 4? When he's praying to the Father the night before he's going to be crucified. John chapter 17 and verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He said, it's as good as done. It's as good as done. Because tomorrow, it's going to be done. And so in John chapter 19 and verse 30, on the cross he declares, it is finished. Jesus finished what he came to do and set the example for us. Finish what you start. And Paul uses that as an example for the Corinthians. He says, Titus started something. I want Titus to finish it. You've promised to do something. You even started a year ago. I want you to finish. You see, Jesus, when he came, he finished his work. And so he says now in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. I speak not by commandment. Paul does not want them to give out of obligation. He doesn't want to make a contribution, want them to make a contribution to the poor saints in Jerusalem out of obligation. He says, I speak not by commandment. Verse 10, he says, and herein I give my advice. I'm just advising you. I'm advising you, for this is expedient for you, he says in verse 10, who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago. Somehow, a year ago, the Corinthians found out Paul hadn't even been to Corinth on this missionary journey as yet. But somehow they found out, the Corinthian believers found out that Paul was making this collection, and they got word to the Apostle Paul that they intended to make a contribution. A year later, that contribution never came. Paul says, I don't want you to do this out of obligation. I want you to want to do this. When you do something out of obligation and you don't want to do it, not wanting to do something grates against your emotions. You ever cut something against the grain? I know you could use wood for this example, but my mind went to a big chunk of roast beef. You know, roast beef, the muscle, it has a grain to it. And when the roast beef is cooked and it's nice and tender, if you cut along the grain, you get nice, even slices. You ever try to cut, especially with a dollar knife, against the grain of the meat? And it just all kinds of shreds up. And when you do something voluntarily, things work pretty smoothly, and your emotions remain calm. But when you do something out of obligation, your emotions get shredded, and you can have some very terrible reactions. Paul says, I don't want you to do this out of obligation. I want you to want to do this. Do it voluntarily. I'm not commanding you. I'm just advising you. After all, you're the ones that promised to do this. Now I'm advising you to finish what you started. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, because, perform it because you want to do it. Do it because you want to finish it. Finishing what you start is a mark of honor. Would you go back to Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15? Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses' servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua finished the job, and it was a mark of honor in his life. Not finishing something that you start is a mark of dishonor. Would you go to the book of Haggai, chapter 1? Haggai, one of those little minor prophet books at the end of the Old Testament, just two chapters in Haggai. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Remember, there were people that came back to Jerusalem from Babylon with the commission to rebuild the temple. When they got there, they laid the foundation of the temple, and they had a big celebration, and everything was great. And now it's 20 years later, and the temple still is not finished. There's still nothing but the foundation. It says in verse 4 that they are living in sealed houses while the temple lies waste. They started, but they didn't finish, and God had to rebuke them, because it's a mark of dishonor to start something and not finish it. Now, we come to the application. And while this has a very practical application, finishing what you start in typical human tasks is a good testimony to the community. You know this lesson has to have more than just an application of reading a book to the end or going to the gym on a regular basis or saving up for Christmas gifts. There is a spiritual application to this as well. When each of us receives Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God gives us a course to accomplish. It's called the Christian life. And sometimes in the New Testament, the Christian life is related to a race. And what did the Apostle Paul say? Would you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have done what? Finished my course. He had a course to run, and he finished it. To say that we need to finish what we started is to encourage us not to give up in the Christian life. Don't take a spiritual nap and miss the prize. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says we need to want the prize. We need to want the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't be satisfied with just getting to heaven. Have that diligence that pushes you to accomplish what God has assigned you to do and finish your course. Know your calling. Know the course that God has given you to run in the Christian life. Run to cross the finish line and obtain the price. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, why? That you may obtain. Not for yourself, for Christ's glory. We win for him because he won for us. We finish our course for him because he finished his work for us. And so desire a crown that when we get to heaven, we can lay it at his feet to enhance his glory. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And perhaps you'll remember when we were studying through the chronology of the end times and we came to Revelation chapter 4, I made a rather compelling argument for the 24 elders representing the church. In verse 10 here in Revelation chapter 4, it says, the 24 elders, which I believe is representing the entire church, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that live forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption for us. We ought to have the diligence in our Christian lives to finish our course for him. He's worthy. There are all kinds of reasons we might take a spiritual nap, especially as things are in such turmoil in our world today. We might get discouraged. We might get frustrated. We might even get angry. We get distracted from the course that God has given us, driven off into one political tangent or some other emotionally driven issue. We are the people of God. And our course has to do with him. Let's know the course he has given us to do. We started it, each one of us, when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Let's be like the Apostle Paul and finish our course to the glory of our Savior, who finished the work of redemption for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much that Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption. He finished the work that you gave him to do. And now, Lord, you have given us some work to do for him. To be the body of Christ in this world. To be the ambassadors of Christ in this world. Help us build within the fiber of our spirit the diligence we need to stick to the course and finish what was started when we received Christ as our Savior. All to the glory of our Savior, who finished his work for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.